We've got a number of people keeping a close eye on the legislative news this session, including our friend Anna Herron with the Palmetto State Watch Group. And Anna, I hope you had a good weekend, and thanks for providing us an update here this morning.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I'm enjoying the spring weather. And, yeah, there are a lot of important conversations going on in the State House, so I'm excited to talk about
Well, spring, summer type of feel on Friday, and today you're wearing a winter cap and you've got four layers of clothes on
right.
As you head over to Columbia in the State House. All right.
Yeah.
In terms of some things that we may have missed from over the weekend or rather last week and things that have caught your attention, obviously, as we get back to business tomorrow.
Yeah, so we have a couple of conversations going on in the Senate about taxes, which is one of my favorite topics. So we have a homestead exemption bill that's S-768 currently in the Senate, and they had a lot of debate last week. They are trying to increase the homestead exemption from $50,000 to $150,000 for those 65 and older. There was an amendment put up by a few of the Senate members to actually increase it for all citizens, not just those the senior citizens. And it was unfortunately shot down. I think it was a 32-10 vote. And that was just a very important thing because it tells us that maybe our Republican legislators are not ready to abolish property taxes after all. They don't really want to cut that. But they are talking about putting a property tax study committee together in the Senate. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not really confident that will get anything done, but we'll see. We also have the income tax bill. That's 4216. It was passed in the House last year, and now it's in the Senate. A lot of debate going on about that one, too. It's going to raise taxes on about 24% of taxpayers. Some are lower income. Some are really, really high income. It's going to be a cut about $120 million to the state government, so that is good. However, it was brought up this week that if we were to stay on the federal continue to do it the way we do it every year, which is stay on the federal way, then we would have cut over about $500 million to the state government. So very interesting there. To just listen to all this debate and to hear all these facts come up about it. But if you go to Palmetto State Watch and read our article that Elena put out about 4216, you will see there is a link to a dashboard where you can put in your income, your dependents, and and your filing status, and you can actually see what your tax bill would be under this bill.
Hmm.
A lot of people will get a cut. But it will increase taxes on some. So very important conversation to talk about. You know, it's going to eventually move us, they say, it will eventually move us to a flat tax and eventually to a zero income tax. But there are some triggers that have to come for that to happen. And, you know, some people are saying, not sure that's going to happen. It could be 30 plus years, you know, until we see a flat or zero tax.
Well, heck, we're trying to drag our feet on income tax rate cuts. Places like to the north in North Carolina, over the last 10 years, they have a flat tax, and they've been able to lower that individual income tax rate significantly within just a decade's time. And here we are in South Carolina, still with a tiered system and still debating how we're going to get to that flat tax or with no income tax rate at all. We're talking with Anna Herron with Palmetto State Watch. Just going back to the property tax conversation, as you mentioned, looking to triple what is exempt for people 65 and older. Obviously, where we're at, a good, healthy portion of our demographic would be impacted positively in their eyes by this tax exemption. Having said that, when you look at state revenues that would be lost as a result of tax cuts and being able to keep in line with trying to keep this place affordable here in the Palmetto State, I mean, how does that correlate to what is being projected in terms of the budget and spending? Because what I'm gathering is that they're looking to increase government spending through this year's budget cycle, all in the while we're trying to cut taxes. Where does the rubber meet the road there?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I mean, We are, we've doubled the state budget in the last 10 years or something like that. And I think the the amendment that was put up in for that property tax bill that would, you know, increase the exemption for everyone was about a $900 million cut to our local governments. Now, property taxes, if people don't know, those are funding your local government, your county and your city.
Okay.
And so that, you know, if you're not paying attention to what your local government is doing, maybe you should start, you know, seeing how much how much money your county is spending, because that's what your property taxes are going to. And in my Richland, I'm from Richland County. Most of my property taxes are not funding your roads. So you know, take a look at what they are spent on.
PalmettoStateWatch.org. Anna Heron is with us. Speaking of roads, there's been a lot of talk about reforms to the South Carolina Department of Transportation, bringing decisions back to the local level. Obviously, the governor's race, each one of the Republican Party candidates are kind of weighing in on this. You're getting news releases every day about how we need to improve our infrastructure, where the money's going. Is it being spent wisely, efficiently? Has that conversation gotten legs as of late over at the State House?
Yeah, so they actually took a break about the talk about SCDOT last week, but they will be having two subcommittee hearings in the Senate, the Transportation Subcommittee, this week, 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday at the Gressa Building, downtown Columbia. And so they'll be voted on a lot of amendments at the last subcommittee meeting, and so they'll be talking through those and probably debating those, probably taking some public testimony. So if you have a chance, if you have anything to tell your senators, if you have a chance to go up there and speak on the SCDOT bills, please make it a point to do that. You have two chances this week. And I do want to mention, Ralph Norman mentioned last week, though the SCDOT former officials were indicted on, some corruption charges a couple weeks ago. They were charged with using their office for financial gain, receiving thousands of dollars from private contractors who were awarded contracts from SCDOT. And this happened, a decade back maybe with the former state SCDOT agency head, Mr. Boggs, and he was using his office for financial gain. So we're just looking to, find out, is there more? Let's do the rest of SCDOT.
Well, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when you get a slap on the wrist or you look the other way, I get it. I'm from the Northeast originally. I've been here for 20-plus years. Now, having said that, you talk about the good old boy network. Well, it seems like the DOT is filled with some of them good old boys, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does to me. I mean, it certainly does. If you're watching these debates, if you're hearing what they're talking about, they say all over social media that, they want to, cut your – they want to abolish property taxes and that sort of thing. But when they talk about it to their buddies and to the to each other, they're not really interested. They just want to get reelected this year because we are having those the state house elections this year. We got the primaries in June, election in November. So they are thankfully they're kind of moving slowly on these bills, but I think they're just saying what they want you to hear.
Yeah, well, that's typical of elected officials when it comes to election season. Anna Heron with us from Palmetto State Watch, giving us an update on the legislative session over in Columbia. They'll be back to work in the State House tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Speaking of bills that are getting tripped up and taking some time, by the way, if you forgot, we've had a penny sales tax implemented on all things that you buy here in Horry County for the better part of the last 25 years. We recently voted to extend that tax for another 25 years. So when it comes to funding infrastructure and road building here in the county, we've been doing that ourselves for quite some time, which the argument is often made that we end up losing out on some of the state dollars because we've been doing it ourselves through the independent republic of the county here in Peter O'Ree. One of the bills that hit a snag last week after fast-tracked through both the State House and the Senate, and I know it might not impact a lot of people, but it does bring up the question, whether public dollars should be reviewed by the general public. And this has to do with name, image, likeness, where college athletes are now being paid from these schools, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the school, such as South Carolina, Clemson, to a lesser extent, obviously, Coastal Carolina. After it hit that snag, apparently there's going to be a public hearing this week, Anna, and a number of athletic directors will be weighing in on this conversation as it continues in the State House.
That's right. Yeah, they were getting really close to a final vote on that that bill. I think it's 4902, and Senator Massey and some others said we don't really feel comfortable about this. We're not sure, if these college athletes are really getting paid with public dollars or not. That some of the athletic directors are saying, yeah, no, it's all private money, and we don't need to worry about it. But they just didn't have a good feeling about that. So yes, they're having that public hearing. With some athletic directors from the universities and I guess whoever else wants to come and talk about that. And they want to really find out, do we need to have transparency, full transparency on these contracts because public dollars are being used to pay them or not?
Now, I think a broader view here, rather than hiding what's going on, and just in large part, right, that they wanted to push this because they feel like our schools and athletic programs would be at a competitive disadvantage if all was exposed in terms of how we're paying these athletes as compared to, keeping it secret in other states across the country. So it's more of a competitive on the playing surface, a recruiting thing, and not necessarily public dollars, right, which is why they've moved forward with this.
That's right. Yes, the competitiveness. And then they were saying that I think five other states in America have moved forward with this legislation. We don't want to have a state, that doesn't have to show their contracts, what their college athletes are getting paid, but then they can go and look at our, website and find out, or whoever, they can FOIA us or whatever. And find out and then be, undercut us, right?
Yeah, and I get it to an extent, but at the same time, there are bigger problems with the current state of college athletics. Maybe we could show some leadership here and create some parameters, just like any other employee-employer relationship, particularly when you attend a public school or university. Like, we know what the athletic directors get paid. We know what the professors and faculty and staff get paid, but the athletes, not so much. And now the money and the pool of money where it comes from might be a little bit different, but nonetheless, this is something that we'll keep an eye on here this week. Anna Herron with Palmetto State Watch with us for just a few more minutes. Anna, as we get the session underway tomorrow, resuming work in the legislature, anything else that we may have missed that's on your radar here this week?
Yeah, actually a couple things that just really, really important conversations that they're having that I think, your listeners, everybody in the state really needs to just pay attention to and just start kind of be a part of the conversation. So the parental rights bill, that's H4757. They were talking about that a lot last week. And it has passed, almost unanimously. I just worry about it. I think, if you're a parent, I'm not a parent, so I don't really know, how it would affect me, but if you're a parent, maybe you should look at this. I don't really have an opinion on it. It's another very important topic. Also, we have the 4755. That's a judicial reform bill. Another very important topic that was talked about a lot last year. They finally have a bill. We might have some problems with it. We'll see. Right now, we have a lot of the Speaker of the House, President of the Senate, those people appoint people to the JMSC. It's a Judicial Selection Merit Commission, and they screen judges, and then they send them to the Senate to get confirmed. And so this is going to get rid of that whole way of doing things. It's going to prohibit legislators from serving on the committee. And it's going to get rid of a DEI mandate, which is great. I think that's great. And then it will actually allow attorneys in good standing and law enforcement officials to serve on the committee instead. So it's just very interesting that maybe, the the conversation about having people that have they might have a conflict, being lawyers right now, and then they are deciding which judges are good or bad in this committee, and then they might serve before, or they might stand before them, right, in court.
Yeah.
Now that we're going to have more attorneys serving on this committee, it's not really going to change that. So it's just very interesting. I'm not sure how that's going to fix anything, but we'll see.
PalmettoStateWatch.com if you want to find out more about what they're covering this legislative session as lawmakers will return to Columbia tomorrow. Anna, thank you so much for spending a little time with us here this morning. Looking forward to our next update come this time next week. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks. And follow us on Facebook if you want to, if you don't want to watch these, videos, and you can just hear the updates from us on Facebook or Twitter.
I mean, that's the way to go. Obviously, we do not have all the free time in the world to watch random subcommittee and committee hearings, which is why Anna takes care of that for us. And will be joining us on Mondays a little after 8:30 through the rest of the session to keep us up to date on all news impacting our lives and state government over at the state legislature.